Well, first of all, I guess I must have heard about her. I'm trying to remember exactly how I heard about her, but I assumed that she was dead. I assumed she had died. Pius XII died in 1958. So I assumed that she died, I don't know, 1960 or something. So it was in a conversation with Monsignor Marini. We would go out every night after Mass, and then we'd have dinner. And then after dinner, he insisted on a constitutional. He was at that time, he was about 30, I think he was 38, 39 years old. He was a delayed vocation because his parents wouldn't let him go into the seminary. But anyway, when he finally became a priest and all, and he was in Rome, and we get into the story that I just told of how we met. Mm-hmm. I was, that one night when we were talking, I said, did you ever hear of a woman by the name of Mother Pascalina? And he turned and he said, well, certainly, as if, didn't you, or hasn't everyone, right? And I said, well, not really. I said, she was Pius XII's secretary. And he said, yes, what about it? I said, well, I have a great devotion to Pius XII. Let me just make a parenthesis here, Kennedy. Mm-hmm. The reason I have a great devotion to Pius XII was because that was the last time the Catholic Church made sense to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. I was 9 years old when he died, but I remember that whole part of my life being everything made sense, and then all of a sudden it started unraveling, and not making sense. So I look back. This is just a boy. Not with any great thought of anything, just looking back. And even at that time, when I was 12 and 13 years old, I could look back to better times. Mm-hmm. And I could see that something was already wrong. Something was wrong. And that something that was wrong, we can get into a little bit later on. I think you can take a guess at what was wrong. But anyway,
I think I know, yeah.
Yeah, from 1962 to 1965. But I remember hearing about Mother Pascalina, and I remember that she was a German nun, and she was Pius XII's personal secretary. So I asked Monsignor Marini, this is in 1974, and he said, no, she's still alive. I said, you're kidding. Where does she live? And he said, well, here in Rome. And I said, again, remember, no cell phones, no internet, right? I said, well, could you find out where she is? I would love to meet her because I have a great devotion to Pius XII, and I'd love to sit and meet her who served Pius XII for almost 42 years of her life. He said, and you would have me do what? I said, well, find her address. He said, are you kidding? I said, well, what do you mean, am I kidding? No, why? He said, well, he worked in the Secretary of State in the Vatican. He said, you think I'm going to go into the Secretary of State and ask for Mother Pascalina's address? I said, well, why would you? I said, naive. I said, why not? He said, oh, my God. He said, you have no clue as to politics, the politics of the church, what's permitted, what's not permitted. Anything that has to do with Pius XII is almost verboten. It's not mentioned. I said, why in the world? Why not? I said, he was the most brilliant pope we've had mentally. His mental capacity was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, Pius XII could read. And there was a Monsignor, Guglielmo Zanoni, who was also a good friend of mine, and of Marini. Zanoni was in the Secretary of State under Pius XII, and Zanoni told me that a speech that Pius XII had written, Zanoni followed it on a page, on a written page from the Secretary of State, right? He followed it word for word, and the Pope never looked at the paper.
Wow.
He said for four or five pages, he just went on without ever glancing down at the page. And he said word for word. He had a great mind and a great theological mind and a great person. Anyway, I said, I'd love to meet Mother Pascalina and learn more about Pius XII. Let me back up to a little bit. I was the first of eight children. One died in infancy. My mother and father, my father was beginning a construction company, and my mother was secretary to the president of the First National Bank, right? And I'm born. They got married. I was born 10 months later, in case anybody's counting.
Yeah, exactly.
and then I was dropped off. They continued working. I was dropped off every morning, the weekday mornings, with my grandmother at my grandmother's house, and her mother, my great-grandmother. And these were the French, Arcan and Le Tourneau.
Okay. Right?
And so these women really formed me religiously. With my grandmother and great-grandmother, and my great-grandmother was brilliant. I'm telling you, she was fantastic and very mystical. Anyway, when I met Mother Pasqualina, you said presenting this or introducing this theme that she might have been a mother figure. She was a grandmother figure.
Okay.
To me, immediately she was a grandmother figure. She reminded me of my grandmother. She had that same kind of faith and determination and no nonsense about her. A magnificent woman. Really a strong, strong woman, and she. You know why she was strong? Because she was made to suffer indignities. Absolutely. When Pius XII died, they could not get her out of the Vatican quick enough. The hatred they had for her. Hatred they had for her. Because for all of the years of his pontificate, for 19 years he was Pope, she was the gatekeeper. She was the person you had to see to get in to see the Pope. And if you didn't like her, she caught some sort of a thing, she would make you wait. She was the one who determined the Pope's schedule, everything of that, and he confided in her. Of course, you can imagine in that world of the Vatican, all male world, and everyone ready, I shouldn't say everyone, that's not true, many ready to do anything to advance their careers, anything. It just amazing. The struggle for power, I never saw it before. I worked in the Vatican in a very small way for 5 years, but what I saw, the climbing, the career, it was brutal. She had none of that. She was, as a matter of fact, we call her Mother Pasqualina. She complained to the Pope as soon as she moved into the Vatican, got his things ready. They started calling her mother. She was always Schwester.
Yeah, sister. That's right. Sorella.
From Bavaria. Yeah, sister. She said, Holy Father, they're calling me mother. They're calling me mother. He said, congratulations. Welcome to the Roman Curia. He said, you've been promoted even without me intervening. You've been promoted. That's it. He said, that's about the closest they can come to calling you Monsignor. he said, accept the title. Anyway, she accepted the title. But just a marvelous woman and with marvelous insights. And when Pius XII died, they couldn't wait to throw her out of the Vatican. Couldn't wait to get her out. It was a horrible resentment of her because you've got this woman who wielded that much power, and she really did. She really did. And she helped many people who had needs to come in and see the Pope before the powerful and the mighty did, right? That was a power. She was good. She was a great woman. A saint and a strong woman. But it was funny because I've known so many strong women in my life, and way before women's liberation, they need to be liberated. Are you kidding? Liberation?
Yeah.
Liberation. I mean, for God's sake, these women were on top of the world, controlling everything they could. And Mother Pasqualina was one of them. But the She was made to suffer for that. She had to pay for that for years. And all she was doing her job and doing it correctly. A marvelous woman.
Well, I are you a G.K. Chesterton fan?
I love G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton is responsible for my really coming back. I shouldn't say that. I never really left the church, but I mean, for getting me as an adult, as a young man, to get interested again in the church and in Catholicism and in right reason.
Well, I'll tell you, when you say power, well, two things. For one, Chesterton is my favorite author, bar none. He's a close second to Father Charles Murr, but yeah, I know exactly. I can't get it. Oh yeah, I can't go anywhere in this country. Although, anyway, but he is. His book Everlasting Man, which we have for sale, ladies and gentlemen, at shop.mikechurch.com, Everlasting Man. If you're there, buy the book and also buy some cigars, because nothing says Chesterton like reading one of his books and smoking a cigar, which he would very much approve
of.
But Everlasting Man is my favorite book. You know, I you're supposed to say the Bible, but as far as non divinely inspired books, okay, his Everlasting Man, for me, I had been reading some Chesterton, and when I was reading that book, and he made the quip, and only the way that he can, when he was talking about why he didn't believe in evolutionary theory, which I was always skeptical of, but I didn't really have a way to talk about it philosophically. And he says, the difference between the man and the beast is not just that the beast doesn't draw a straight line. He's referring to art. He says, he doesn't begin to draw a straight line. A line has been crossed between the man and the beast in a way it's not just quantitative, it's qualitative. It's a different type of species that there is no precedent for. And when you say about, strong women before liberation, it reminds me of when Chesterton, two quotes, when he says, you know, feminism is when a woman leaves the home and stops serving her husband so she can go to work and serve her boss, essentially. And secondly, he talked about women's suffrage, which is such a controversial thing for people, but he said, you know, women were already running society because they were forming all the people that went and voted, and now they leave the homes and stop forming society and have to go compete with the people they could have formed to vote in the first place, which is basically what he said.
Exactly.
And, why don't you, I want to ask you.
Just a quick.
Sure.
He said, he wrote, secretaries of the world, the secretaries in London protested. They got together for a demonstration, and they were carrying signs, I will not be dictated to.
Yeah, exactly. Someone in the chat is asking for the book titles again. Well, Father Murr's book is The Godmother. You look it up. It's on Amazon. There's a review at 1 Peter 5 as well. The Godmother by Father Charles Murr. His last name is spelled M-U-R-R. Should be pretty easy to find on Amazon. And so we've got 10 minutes left, and I want to get, I know there's a thousand stories you could tell, but one of the ones that I got goosebumps reading about it, and I talked about it this morning on my Monday morning show with Tim Flanders and Jeremiah Bannister with the Meaning of Catholic, and it's the story of what Pius XII did during the Second World War, not just the general things, but the actual, the way that he walked out into the bombing city being bombed, and that was part of a deal he had made with the world leaders. Can you tell us the story about Pope Pius XII's heroism during the Second World War?
He was, first of all, anyone who buys into the idea that Pius XII somehow, anyhow, in any way, shape, or form, had anything to do with the Holocaust against the Jews, or didn't do it, there's something wrong with what you're with your knowledge, what you're reading, and who you're listening to.